Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. We're talking about dealing with strongholds and generation curses in our life, and everybody has a issue in their life. Everybody has an issue that they would like to deal with. It may be addiction to food. It may be addiction to internet. It may be addiction to pornography or more serious things like drugs or sexual immorality or alcohol. And so these addictions torment and they plague all humankind. And it seems to be that the devil takes pleasure in destroying us. That is his program. That is his plan. And so this message today is going to be an instruction, a teaching. It's not so much a preaching, but a teaching about how to deal with strongholds and those generation curses that come back to plague us and torment us and drag us down and take us away from God. And so if you have a situation in your life that keeps recurring in your life and it keeps dragging you down, maybe you've been to treatment a few times, or maybe you have tried and tried to get away from some kind of repetitive sin, repetitive stronghold, and for many Americans, it's just gluttony. We have a real problem in America, people overeating. Many people are obese and can't get away from the compulsion to eat food all the time. And so we all deal with strongholds. We all deal with these repetitive sin. And so this teaching is going to be appropriate for every person who has those type of problems. Well, is self-deliverance possible? That's the first issue I want to take up today. Is self-deliverance possible? In other words, can you be delivered from these things, these strongholds? I know many people think that there isn't way to be self-delivered. There, you have to go to some kind of treatment program. You have to go to Alcoholics Anonymous or go into a drug rehab or an alcohol rehab program or even other types of programs that will help you get away from these things. Well, I believe, beloved, that you can deliver yourself by the power of Jesus Christ in your life, by the power of God in your life. Self-deliverance is possible. You don't have to go into any kind of program, even for gluttony, even for compulsive eating or drinking habits. You don't have to go into any kind of program. Deliverance is possible by the Word of God, by the power of God, by the power of Jesus Christ in your life. You can have self-deliverance and you can be victorious. The Bible says that all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so when you call on Jesus, He is the source of our strength. He is the source of deliverance. He is the chain breaker, the way maker. And when you call on Him, you can be delivered, even of the most serious drug problems. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going to treatment programs or NA or AA or gluttony programs or anything else. They're all good programs, most of them, but you can accomplish deliverance just by the Word of God, and Jesus Christ is the chain breaker. As I say, we sing a song, there is power in the name of Jesus, and it's so true. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. We're going to look in just a bit at the last part of this message about the man called Legion, who was in the tombs, and Jesus encountered him, and Jesus broke the chains off of that man. So it is possible to break the chains of bondage, break the chains of addiction, break the chains of strongholds and generation curses off of your life if you understand your enemy, the devil, and if you understand the power that Jesus has over your enemy. So there are four steps, and we talked about this briefly last week. There are four steps in deliverance, and these four steps, I'm going to go through them here quickly. Number one is identify the stronghold. Well, for most people, that's very simple. You have one problem or maybe two or three problems that keep coming up. They keep recurring. And maybe you have a problem with pornography and you just cannot break loose of pornography. Maybe you have a problem with drinking alcohol too much. You don't think you're an alcoholic, but if you ask your friends or your wife, she would probably say, yes, you are. And so you identify the stronghold. Maybe you have a whole bunch of them. Maybe you have five or six or seven that have been handed down to you, or that you've chosen yourself, and these recurring problems have caused you financial problems, they've caused you marital breakup, they've caused you bankruptcy, they may have caused you all kinds of problems, relationship issues. So you identify those problems, write them down, and write them down one by one. And then number two is you speak against them. God wants you to speak against them, to verbally renounce your association, verbally renounce your agreement with those things. I speak against sexual immorality and pornography. I speak against lust. I speak against alcohol use. When you get your tongue and your mouth involved in speaking against those things, then you have made a declaration. Not only physically, it's not just a physical thing, but you have made a declaration in the spirit realm that you are breaking off your agreement with the devil's plan in your life to continue to torment you and to continue to wreck your life and tear you up in these areas of your life. And so it's very important that you speak against it. When you agree with something, you say, I love it, or I like that, or I'm all for that. Well, it's just as important to say, I'm breaking off my association. I speak against pornography. I speak against alcohol, etc. And so if you'll do that, then you're making a declaration that this is where you want to go. This is what you want to do with your life. And so it puts the devil on notice that you're no longer in agreement with his program. Then the third thing is repent of your participation and your agreement with those issues in your life. And this is between you and God. Repentance is that you turn from the ways that you're going now, you turn from the pathway that you're going now, and you do an about face and you go in the other direction. In other words, you change your behavior and you go in the other direction. And so you get before God in your quiet place and you say, God, I repent of these issues. I repent of my attraction and my addiction to pornography. I repent of my addiction to this particular drug, smoking pot or whatever. And when you repent, you come to the realization that you have hurt the heart of the Father God. It's not just that many people repent when they get caught with drugs. Many people repent when they get a DUI or get busted when they're drunk or whatever. It's not just about getting caught. It's about you have hurt the heart of the Father God. You have transgressed his commandments and his desire, his will for your life. You have transgressed that, and so you need to repent of your sin. And godly sorrow brings about repentance. When you are sorry that you have hurt the heart of the Father, who has the good plan for your life, who has the better plan for your life, who has your welfare and your blessing in his heart, that's what he wants to see come to pass in your life. And so when you come to that realization that your choices and the generation curses handed to you that you have been in agreement with, when those things are no longer running your life and they are no longer dictating your life, you come to the realization that you cannot allow those to run and dictate your life anymore, then you repent and say, Father, I'm sorry I hurt you. Father, I am sorry that I have been in agreement with the devil, that I've transgressed the kingdom of God's plan in my life. And so I repent before you today. I repent and I ask for your kingdom to come into my life, and for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that's point number three. Point number four is then you ask the Lord to close up the doors that the devil has used as an opportunity to come into your soul. And those doors are open when we are in agreement with the devil. Those doors stay open when we say, devil, we are no longer in agreement, and we make declarations that say we are no longer in agreement with the devil's plan, then we close up the doors, and by the grace of God, by the power of God, and the blood of Jesus Christ, the power of the blood of Jesus, we close up those doors, and we seal them up, and the devil can no longer then come into our life and run in and out of our life and hold us hostage to his program and his plan for our life. So those are the 4 points. You can do them on your own. You can have somebody else help you with those. Go through prayers at each one of those points. Go through prayers. And at this point, I would also recommend a book for those of you who are dealing with strongholds and you want to go through a deliverance and a cleansing program. I would recommend a book called Bondage Breaker by Neil Anderson. That's Bondage Breaker by Neil Anderson. It's a very good book. And it goes through a series of prayers and a series of areas of your life where you can get free from the devil. Maybe it is through false religions. Maybe it is through sexual immorality. Maybe it's through unforgiveness. You just have bitterness in your heart towards people that you can't let go of. And all of these ways in your life that you need cleansing, that you need purification, you need sanctification. And you can go through these areas in your life with prayers that are facilitated in this book, Bondage Breaker by Neil Anderson. So I advise you to check that book out and see what it can do to help you get free of your strongholds. Well, Mark 16, verse 15, Jesus is giving the disciples the instructions before he ascends to heaven the final time. He has the disciples gathered there together, and in Mark 16:15, he tells them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." And verse 17, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues." So that is the key right there, verse 17. These are the signs of those who will follow me and believe. In my name they will cast out demons. So in the name of Jesus, by the power of Jesus, we have the power, we have the authority. We have the authority to defeat the devil in our life. And you need to understand that, beloved, that we have the power and the authority to defeat the devil in our life because of our association with Jesus Christ. It's not anything that we have on our own. We don't have any particular power of our own. Our willpower can't pull us up out of our terrible situations. If it was possible, there would be no need for drug rehabilitation centers. There would be no need for alcohol rehab centers. There would be no need for prisons. We can't will ourselves out of our bad situations, out of our strongholds. But in the name of Jesus, by the power of Jesus, by the blood that he shed on the cross, the blood that he shed at the whipping post, his precious blood gives us the power. When you come into agreement with Jesus, we then have the power to defeat the devil in our life. Jesus Christ went to the cross and he proved that he had power over death. He proved that he had power over the sting of death, and he proved that he had power to defeat the devil in the most dreadful situation, where all of the world and all of the sin of the world had come on Jesus and had been put on his shoulders. And he took our sin and he went to the cross and he died on the cross. But even greater than that, 3 days later, he rose up out of the grave, and he proved to the whole world for that time and for all eternity that death had no hold on him, that death had no sting, and that he had defeated the power of the enemy for all time. And when we come into agreement with Jesus, we too have that power. We access his power by our association with him. We put on the badge that says we're of the kingdom of heaven, we're of the kingdom of God, and the power that Jesus has, that same power then you can appropriate in your life, and you can access that power and have authority over the devil in your life. Now, beloved, if you're not walking with the Lord Jesus, if you're just trying to appropriate his power and still live for the world and still party and drink and carry on and carouse around and watch pornography, if you're not trying to walk with Jesus, if you're not attempting to live a sanctified and a purified and a holy life, just saying that you have association with Jesus is not going to access his power. You have to live the life. You have to walk the walk, not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. And then you can access, and by association, by the blood that covers us, we have the power then to defeat the devil in our life. And so it's an awesome thing to be able to access that power and to come out of the kingdom of darkness and to come into the kingdom of light. And that is God's will for your life. That's God's will for every single person on the earth, whether it's to come out of a pagan religion, to come out of witchcraft, to come out of Islam. Maybe it is to get loose from pornography or just the compulsive habits of eating or drinking or shopping or whatever it is. God wants to move us higher, and we can move higher by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we associate with Jesus, we are going to move higher, and we are going to be set free from all of those chains that bind us. Well, I'm going to turn now to Mark 5. If you have your Bible, turn it to Mark 5. And we're going to talk about the story of Legion. And this is probably the most famous story in all of the Gospels of how Jesus delivered somebody, how Jesus set somebody free. And in Mark 5, verse 2, it says, when Jesus had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. So he was breaking the chains. He was such a violent person that he was breaking the chains. And you know, people that are demon possessed, sometimes they have extraordinary strength, ungodly strength. And so that was the case with this man. He was up in the tombs. He had no relationships. He was uncouth and barbaric and violent, and so he had no relationships with people. Sometimes there are people here on this earth right now who have no relationships with people because they have so much anger, or they lash out at people, or they just cannot get along with people, and so they have no good relationships with their family or friends or anyone else. They just push people away. And so that is the situation with this man. He was dwelling in the tombs because he had been bound with shackles and chains. The chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Well, that sounds like a lot of teenagers this day, not just teenagers, but young adults that are cutting themselves and trying to destroy themselves. Suicide is one of the leading causes of death of young people in America, not just young people, but all ages now in America. And so that is a hallmark of association with the devil. He always wants us to try to kill ourselves and cut ourselves. And so Jesus saw him from afar, and the man ran and worshiped Jesus. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, or I beg you by God, that you do not torment me." Well, this is a very curious and interesting statement here, because he had never been introduced to Jesus, yet he knew exactly who he was. Let me tell you, the devil always knows who Jesus is, and the devil is always aware when Jesus comes in the room. If you come in the presence of somebody who is demon-oppressed or demon-possessed, and you have the Spirit of the living God in you, then the devil is going to manifest. He knows who you are, and he knows what your purpose is. And so that was the case with this man. He said, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." Well, why was he concerned about being tormented? Because he knew Jesus had the power to cast him out of this man. He knew Jesus had power over this demon that was in this man, and that Jesus was going to make a change in this man's life and somehow get rid of this demon for this man. And so Jesus said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Well, Legion was not just one unclean spirit. He was 2,000 unclean spirits that had inhabited this man, and all of these spirits had tormented him. There's always a major demon or an anchor demon that comes in. That could have come from the generation curses that are handed to us by our family and our strongholds that were given by our family. That anchor demon or that prime demon then starts to invite in other demons. And so after a while, those other demons then, they invite in other demons, and our behavior invites in other demons. And after a while, this man had 2,000 demons that were running the show in his life. And so the result of all that was there he was out there in the tomb. So he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged Jesus earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Well, why did he beg him to not send them out of the country? It's because of the familiar spirits that we talked about last week. It's because demons love to track your family. They're also territorial. There's demons around this city. There's demons over certain institutions. There's demons over certain states and over regions of the country. And then there's powers and principalities over the whole country. All of these demons are territorial. They come to know their territory very well, and that's where they feel comfortable because they have been operating there. They have been living there, you might say, and they are assigned to that by Satan himself. And so they become very familiar with the people that live in a certain city or a certain area. And so certain strongholds of the enemy then appear, and they tend to replicate the behavior, and the patterns of behavior then become very familiar and very similar in all of the people in a certain village, a certain area, a certain region. And so these demons did not want to be sent out of the country where they were in, or out of the region they were in. Verse 11, "Now a large herd of swine was feeding near the mountain, so all the demons begged Jesus, saying, 'Send us to the swine that we may enter them.'" And so they were happy to go to the swine. In the Jewish culture, as still is today, the swine were considered unclean animals. They did not eat the swine, and so they were happy to go to the swine because they thought they would be safe there in the swine. That was a host for them because they were unclean animals. And so they said, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. And there was 2,000 of the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Well, you can imagine the sight, especially of the swine herder, the guy that owned the herd of swine, when he saw these 2,000 pigs go running off the cliff or running down the bank into the sea and drown. He probably was not too happy with his situation. He probably was not too happy with Jesus because his economic fortune just took a dive right there. And so the demons went into the swine thinking that they would be safe there, and the swine went down into the sea and they drowned. Well, did the demons drown? No, the demons didn't drown. The demons don't drown. They live eternally. They're going to be in the lake of fire for all eternity, but now they're active all over the earth. And so the demons did not drown. The pigs drowned, but the demons went on to look for another host. And thank God they didn't go back to Legion. They did not go back to try to get back in Legion. But they went to look for another human host because that is their job. That is what they do and how they feel they are accomplishing the work of the devil. Well, those who fed the swine, the swine herders, told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what exactly had happened. In verse 15, "And they came to Jesus, and they saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were all afraid. And those who saw it told them how it had happened to him who had been demon-possessed, and about the swine, and they began to plead with Jesus to depart from their region. Well, that is oftentimes what happens when demons get cast out, is that people don't understand it, and they sometimes people are more comfortable knowing that a person is demon-possessed or demon-harassed or demon-oppressed. They're more comfortable because they're more familiar with that. We have guys in the prison out there who have come to know Jesus Christ and are sold out for the Lord, very excited for the Lord, and yet their families don't embrace them because they're actually more familiar with them when they were living with the devil. In fact, that's the only way they've ever known that person is when they were always living for the devil and getting in trouble and out there on the streets cutting up. And so when the people come to a place of knowledge of Jesus Christ and sell out for the Lord and come to know his plan for their life, whether many times their families, they don't embrace it because they don't understand and they don't recognize that person who is not familiar to them. Well, Legion was sitting in front of Jesus. He was clothed. He was in his right mind. The demons had been cast out of him. He was in his right mind, beloved, and that is God's will for your life, that you be in your right mind, that the kingdom of heaven will come and dwell with you, that Jesus Christ dwells with you, and that you can be set free, you can be broken free from every stronghold that the enemy tries to wrap you up in. You can be broken free from any stronghold that tries to hold you back financially, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, whatever terminology you want to put with it. Jesus wants to set you free, and he has the power to do it, but you have to come into agreement with his plan and with the kingdom of God. And it can be done, beloved. It can be done. I am a testimony to that myself, and many, many other people are a testimony to the power of God in their life, and it can happen for you as well. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We invite you to partner with this ministry, not only to keep this radio broadcast coming, but also for all the great work going on in Africa. We invite you to partner with us. Stay tuned for contact information, for partner information. We want to hear from you. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.